Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Time now on Open House to catch up with the latest forever interesting developments in the world of new media and social media with our resident guru, Steve Krieger. Steve, welcome back.
Thanks, Lee.
Great to have you with us. See, one of the significant recent developments in this world is the rise and rise of Twitter, growing competition between it and Facebook. It appears now Facebook's honing in on the hashtag. Now, to begin with, for the uninitiated, how would you describe what a hashtag is, where it came from, what's it for?
Yeah, Lee, let's say there are some things that are more difficult than others to describe on radio. Yes. I think the hashtag is one of those things, but yeah. It's really a combination of letters and numbers that appear after that hash symbol that we've all got on our keyboards, on our phones, and our computers. And so this collection of characters and letters is a way of grouping together conversations on Twitter. So, for example, if you're at the football, you might write something on Twitter and finish it off with hash symbol football. And then everyone who's at the football can look at all of the tweets that have been made about the football. And so this is used in a variety of ways. People who watch Q&A and ABC One, on there's a huge amount of conversations that take place and are using all those conversations to group using the Q&A hashtag. AusPoll is another big one for grouping together all the conversations around Australian politics. So it's a way of bringing all those conversations together.
Up until now, it's been mainly but not universally a Twitter thing.
That's right. So it started in chat rooms originally, like most technology things do. It starts with the nerds and then expands out from there. Yeah. It's used on some other social networks like Instagram, but it's now starting to expand its reach.
So the emergence of the hashtag on Facebook, is that a user-initiated thing? Because I keep seeing that more and more. Or is it a Zuckerberg thing?
Well, Facebook's been pretty quiet about this. So they're still kind of denying all the rumours that are out there about what their plans might be from the future. But you're right. Lots of users have been initiating hashtags on Facebook for some time. But I think what we're going to do, what we will see in the next little while, is this will be used more prolifically on Facebook because it's such a useful tool.
What's in it for Facebook then?
I think the benefits of Facebook are, again, they want to really monopolize all of the conversations and the activity that takes place online. So they're getting more people talking, more conversations. But also, as we've talked about in the past, Facebook wants advertising dollars. This is just another way of finding out the types of things that people are talking about. And so, for example, if people are using a politics hashtag, they're able to target them with political advertisements.
Okay, so that's what is in it for Facebook. What's in it for the Facebook user? Anything?
I think so. The thing about Facebook, which is different to other social networks, is you're really only connected in large part to your friends, to people that you know, and so you're not able to participate in conversations easily about subjects with people who aren't your friends. So this is a great opportunity for people to talk about, as we've seen before, maybe it's events happening in your community, a bushfire, the football, or anything else that you're interested in, your favourite TV show, with people that you are not directly connected with.
Okay, let's stay with Twitter for a pretty big and another pretty amazing development. There are people tracking how and why we get sick through Twitter. Not that Twitter's making us sick, but they're tracking us on Twitter. How on earth?
This is fascinating, isn't it? Yeah. So there's a university researcher who's been looking at, can we use the data and the information that people share on Twitter to see who might get the flu or experience food poisoning? So for the uninitiated, those tweets that people share on Twitter usually include some GPS information locating that user to a particular place in the world. And what this researcher has done is connect that GPS information with what people are saying and any mentions they have of being unwell. So someone says, I feel sick, I've been in bed all day. He groups all those conversations together, and then he's developed an app. It's called the Germ Tracker, and you can see what parts of your city or your country are more likely to have sick people, and so you therefore might decide to avoid those places.
There are so many conversations to have on apps one day, but that's probably in the future. Is this one a novelty, Or is there something more in this then?
People do seem to be using it. It's what we are discovering is that there's more and more data that's being collected that can be used. There's a fascinating website. The UK has one, but the one I've seen most of is the US government, just called data.gov is the website. And basically, they're collecting data about so many different types of information, transport and health and education, and they're making it freely available. So the developers, just like this guy, are able to use it for whatever purpose they might discover. So where are the best schools, and what are the schools where more children get sick? You know, and you can, aggregate this data and create a whole lot of really interesting applications.
I have a sense that in a decade we'll be looking back on conversations like this and we'd be saying, oh, we thought it was such a novelty back in those days.
Well, people were saying that about Facebook and Twitter.
Somewhat in the same vein, Google is now taking us indoors. So we've had all their maps outdoors, but now we're going inside.
We sure are. So Google has been a great way to get from point A to point B, anywhere outside. But now what they've done is they've launched a new application using their Google Maps software to find your way around indoor locations like airports, stadiums, shopping centres, train stations, that kind of thing. So they've developed 10,000 maps for indoor locations around the world. And there's some Australian locations on there already. So Town Hall Station in Sydney and Flinders Street in Melbourne, some IKEA stores, stadiums, the National Gallery, the Opera House. All of these locations have now been mapped indoors. So you can not only find your way to that location from your house, but you're also able to find your way around that location once you're there.
And does it follow me with a little blue dot?
I think it would, depending on how quickly you were moving around the Opera House. Right. Yeah.
Oh, only very stately. in a stately manner. I guess I've got the same question as with the Big Brother Twitter on stalking disease. Is it going to be a novelty, or does it hold potential for other applications in the future?
I think phase one of most technologies is the novelty value, but they've already started to flag some of the long-term benefits for this. So they're saying, yeah, you could use this application to find a product on a supermarket shelf, so it could direct you around that supermarket. One of the really great applications is that it can be used by the visually impaired.
Yes.
So they can have directions spoken to them as they walk around IKEA, so they can find their way around more easily. But even, and this is a really long-term vision, if your smartphone is able to detect where you are in the world, it could even anticipate the room that you were about to enter and switch that light on before you enter the room. Now, obviously, we're a little bit away from that, but perhaps not too far away. So you can see all this kind of technology coming together to, in some ways, make life better.
And make us more lazy.
Can't even reach up to the light switch.
So finally, you've found an app in this amazing world of apps that helps us if we want to be a bit antisocial with our social media.
Well, that's right. There's lots of ways that we're becoming more social. I think we discussed this one last year. Ticketek has this interesting application that they've connected with Facebook so that when you're booking a ticket to an event, you can see where your friends are sitting and sit nearby or perhaps further away, depending on how you're feeling about them at that time. But sometimes we all just want to be on our own. So an application has been developed out of Holland called Avoid the Shopping Crowds, and you're able to look at a particular location, a shopping center, and it will give that location a rating: calm, not too busy, busy, very busy, or forget it. And it's updating every minute.
I like it, actually.
And I think it's a great way. Before you go to the shops, you can see, am I likely to be inundated with people? The answer is probably always yes.
Yeah.
But it's a good way to find out in advance
how less likely I am, at least. Can I just ask this in conclusion? Overall, with much of what we've spoken about tonight, there does seem to be a forever escalating scope for social media to kind of be this big brother looking over us and in our lives, much more than it has been in the past.
Mm.
Should we be concerned? And if so, is there anything we can do about it, I suppose?
It's hard. You've got to really be able to look into the future to see what the applications of this information might be. And I think I'm certainly not smart enough to think of all the positive and negative applications of this technology. What we do know is that lots of data is being collected, and it's just the nature of the world that we live in. So even just with your mobile phone, your phone provider knows any time of the day exactly where you are in the world. There's nothing really much that we can do about that. But there are some things we can do. We've talked in the past about just turning off Facebook. You know, there's lots of networks that you simply don't need to be a part of if you don't want to be. And there's lots of healthy reasons to go off those networks. You can switch off the GPS on your phone. You know, yes. Other people don't need to know where you are, and that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. We're always juggling the pros and cons of technology and trying to think about how it has an impact on ourselves and our souls. I think the biggest concern that I have is for children who are growing up in the world today, whose only experience of the world is with this technology, and who yet aren't wise enough often. I mean, I don't even feel wise enough as an adult navigating this world, let alone for children.
If you don't.
That's right. You know, to see how are they going to navigate this world?
Yeah.
And so I think there's a really good opportunity, and I keep encouraging parents to do this, to understand the technology of the world that we live in today, so they're able to help their children to be wise in how they apply it.
I'm so glad you regularly join us on Open House. Steve Krieger, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Lee.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.